mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 338. I'm Adam, and could you put the kettle on, please? And here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
I met an emperor made of algae once.
Debbie Melrose.
You don't steer the TARDIS, you negotiate with her.
And Isabella Pearson.
Rivets? Oh, I love rivets. A wall, a real honest wall.
So we've got some Skyvers this week on the show.
Hello.
Just when the proper series starts up, they all start skiving. Nevertheless, we're still here to continue and look at Smile, which is rather ironic because it's probably the last thing I'm going to do on the show. Because prior to the beginning of the recording of the episode, we've already had 3 points deducted from Kirby, one for uncouthness and for what? Rustling sweet packets and crisp packets in right in front of the microphone.
So, no, I don't have any of that right now at all.
I know.
What are you talking about?
The official recording starts when the Facebook Live goes. And Ian Kirk says, ah... what's that say?
A good time to post emojis,
yes.
Yeah.
What's the one above it?
First, 1 minute and 59 seconds. First, a couple.
Don't touch it.
It's more.
She nearly touched the I'll see if I can get that off. Sorry about this, listeners. Unfortunately, there's things being posted. I can't read because the screen doesn't stay up there for long enough. So what we're going to do is have a look at this. Shut up, Isabella.
What?
Right, Ian Kirk. First, I pinned it. I didn't mean to pin it. First, a couple of things about last week's episodes. In Tales of Old, the protagonists... Oh, Deb, can you read this for me? It's too long.
Oh, my God.
Hey?
Where are you looking at?
It's on our video feed. Oh, no, don't worry. Don't read it. It's Ian Kirk's script. Sorry, Ian.
Oh, okay.
Oh. He's going to read that himself later in the show. He's going to put it away. Okay, this week we're going to be looking at Smile. And
We must all smile.
Yeah, but are all the episodes going to just be one word titles, I wonder? They have been so far.
Sentence, that would be quite interesting.
Are we going to do it via the commentary basis, like I suggested last week, or am I going to skip through the episode?
We have an angry
face. Which seems to take longer. Would you say?
We have an angry face on us.
Well, are you able to queue up the episode, either of you?
Yes,
no,
of course.
I remember it.
Yeah, but you've got problems. You'll go all share, won't you, Debbie?
I'll give it a try, but I can just... I've seen it twice now, so I can actually just... remember where you're at anyway.
I've seen it three times.
I've seen it twice.
Or was it twice?
It's twice.
Okay, well, we won't then. We'll just do it. We'll do what we normally do because I can't be arsed. Right then.
So I wasn't able to start watching
it
until like 11 o'clock last night.
Yeah, okay. All right, so it starts off with a pure drama BBC little ident. And then the Doctor has been a bit... he's sort of been a bit arrogant, really, isn't he? Sort of posing around the TARDIS and...
No, he's just really enjoying showing it off to Bill. You know, she's come on board and here's my lovely TARDIS. And he's expecting her to really embrace it. But all she's worried about is the fact the chairs don't reach the console.
Essentially,
the seatbelts.
Yes.
I believe Rose made a comment once about that as well.
Oh, I can't remember about that. But, yeah. Then eventually he gets around to asking her where she'd like to go, because obviously Nardole comes in and complains about, he seems a bit put out that she's in there.
We've got the great mystery with Nardole and the oath and everything.
Yeah, I had to explain to my dad, because my dad has not watched it for a little while, and he couldn't work out why Sir claimed to be over 2,000 years old, so I basically had to give him a rundown of the last two seasons.
Well, Matt Smith's character aged the Doctor by quite a few years.
I know, I really did not like that.
Well, I'm sorry about that. I didn't write it, though, Kerry Mars just done a smiley emoji, which is probably quite good. She won't get killed. And Craig Hansen has joined the viewership. Moving back to the episode. Yeah, so the Doctor's a bit mean to Nardole. Sort of forces him to go and make a cup of tea, I think.
Mm.
Put the kettle on. I felt that was a bit putting Nardole in a...
Well, I like the way the Doctor called him Mum when the knock came on the
Doctor. Yeah, but it's the way, it's the way he spoke to him, and he wasn't sort of overly impolite, but it's just he treated him a bit like a slave, the way he said it. I don't know if that was
But he did say something when he was walking away.
Like what?
I forgot.
Oh yeah, Nardole sort of complained. He mumbled something as he
mother hen fucking.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. What did
anyway.
He say again?
Oh, okay. Isabella wants to see what Nardole mumbles as he walks away, so we're just going to watch the scene. What are you doing here? Yeah, that sort of thing. You're going to...
I'm not making it for her.
She can make her own.
I'm not a slave for any human, I can assure you.
You found that. Together, isn't that clever? Yeah, so they...
I just tested my mute. I'm assuming it worked.
Did we not hear any uncouthness then, Kirby? Then it probably did work, yeah. Yeah, so she decides future. She wants to see if it's happy. And then we see this rather splendid shot of a cornfield, which I suspect has been manipulated digitally somehow.
It's a wheat field.
Oh, right, a wheat field. Right, point deducted for pedantry.
It's a cornfield. To you, it's a cornfield. To me, it's a wheat field.
It is a wheat field.
Point deducted for pedantry.
Well, do you know how confusing that was when in high school I had to read Tessa the D'Urbervilles and they kept referring to a cornfield and it was a wheat field?
Does it matter?
Yes.
No.
It's the wonderful differences between American stupid English and good old British English.
Anyway, it was a field full of some plants of some variety. And there was this rather cheerful woman who has just...
She says it's wheat.
Is that just keep smiling?
Doesn't matter.
I've just pollinated great piles of wheat.
This woman says that she...
Yeah, but perhaps that's the Indian way of referring to it.
It doesn't matter.
Since these people are obviously from the Indian Space Agency that we saw way back in a couple of seasons ago.
Never mind. Anyway, she's quite cheerfully walking back through the field and gets a message from a member of her family saying, oh, they're all dead, and trying to smile while doing it, which was a bit weird. And then she, of course, tells her that she's dead, and all the emoji bots basically kill both of them very, very brutally. And
very rash to Narada-y, I must say.
Yeah, I thought that was when I saw the.
Because like when she was unhappy, when she kept saying that people were dead, while the bots were like, no, "It's time for you to die now."
We didn't say that at all.
Master,
they were like
only
that.
Seen it once.
They were like that, like
yes.
Time for you
Master,
to
Master,
die.
Master, we might as well get this done now. This is the City of Arts and Sciences in Valencia.
Oh, good.
And for some reason, Matthew was thinking I wouldn't notice that. It was also used in the movie of a couple of years ago, the Disney movie Tomorrowland, which I absolutely adore that movie because it's so optimistic. And
I was
glad to see the doctor say this is optimistic architecture.
Thank
and
you.
they used optimistic in both this story and. Yeah. Tomorrowland.
I was trying to work out where it was.
Valencia.
Yeah, Valencia.
It's real.
Yeah, thank
it's
you.
It's not in the middle of a wheat field, though.
Yeah, thank you. So, yes, as I was trying to say, that they get done in, as Debbie was saying, in a Vashta Narada sort of way. Although with Vashta Narada, you didn't actually see. It was their shadows, weren't they? They just you hear the sound effect.
Also, the Vashta Narada tended to keep the ligaments there, so the skeleton didn't fall apart.
Yeah, no, I know, but it did immediately remind me of it. It was,
yes.
Yeah, Tom and I both looked at each other.
I agree with Debbie. Right.
Sorry?
So I said I agree with you. Anyway, so the Doctor and Bill arrive and. It's quite a pretty place. They're quite excited, especially Bill.
Bill was taking
arriving,
a selfie.
at a new place. And when they meet the emoji bots, of course, Bill recognises the fact that they essentially speak emoji.
I was
going to
say that.
Master,
yes.
Master. They had two little people play emoji bots, and then they just cloned. They used visual effects to... make multiple ones, but yeah. one of the little people is Kieran. What's his full name? Kieran Shaw, and he was also the little person who was in the bed in Listen.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So what about the other one? Was it Jimmy V, friend of the show?
What?
Not a very good answer. She spoke over me. Point deducted for Debbie for just talking over me when I asked her a question.
Oh, you want to know the name of the other little person? Mm-hmm. Craig Garner.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Jimmy V, friend of the show.
No, unfortunately not.
Because he's too busy doing Star Wars Episode 9.
Yeah. He may not. He may never be a Doctor Who again.
Might be, may not. They're actors. They need work, they get it, don't they?
Star Wars now, so.
Yeah, I think Doctor Who's on more than Star Wars, isn't it? Right, we're going to get up
to it. It wasn't a dab, was it?
Big pub?
Isabella just dabbed.
Anyway, so yeah, that was what I was saying. Initially, they give the effect they're quite friendly, these little emoji bots.
They are!
But they give, they implant something into the ears of the Doctor and Bill before they get their little yellow badges.
It's before Bill.
Now, I wonder if that's the business with the implant with the ear is going to continue on from this point on, or if it's just going to be something that's just dropped. Maybe it only works in this...
That's what I was wondering. Yeah, I was wondering if they were going to use it and it's going to come back and help them the next time they have to do some running through corridors and things.
It doesn't usually do that in Doctor Who.
No.
They've been implants and things like that in the past, and they've never reoccurred.
I love those doors at the Museum of Saint at this complex. The big old facility doors.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. Yeah. It's absolutely gorgeous.
It was obviously quite warm there as well because she's wearing her jeans.
Very
little. No, she's wearing a jean top around her waist.
There's a YouTube video out there about the filming. And she said it was quite warm in the 30s, whatever that means.
Quite warm then.
Ashley Hughes had joined. Hello, Ashley. Terry Miles is still there. Hello, Terry. Moving on. Right, so they get their badges, which are quite clever because you can't see yourself what expression is on the badge. Only someone else. Anyway, so they try and put it on their lapels or whatever, and it slips around to their back.
I don't know why they were even trying to put it on their lapels. There's no way of holding it on.
Oh, God. Well, fair enough.
It's some kind of... Yeah, it's some kind of, like, just almost like a magnet or something.
Yes.
Maybe it's some Velcro on it or something. I don't know.
No, it didn't have that. It was double-sided, wasn't it?
Because what happens on all the time, you know? It's like, how does it... When you take it off, you could just take it off, you know?
It was double-sided.
Well, as someone who works for a company that makes hook and loop fasteners, I will insist that you can call it hook and loop fastener and not Velcro.
Okay.
Thank you for that. Anyway, so Bill is given something to eat that's a bit fishy, but there you go. And initially
Doctor gets two servings, two portions.
Oh yes, that's true. Doesn't eat any of it though. And then they go into a little garden.
High blood pressure.
They go into a little garden and Doctor finds a little pendant, which he picks up.
Lester.
Yes.
When they go into the garden section, the big one, the long corridor one, that's very magnificent, that's really in Valencia. And then the smaller one is obviously a set.
Well, let's have a look at that then. That's interesting. The big one. Well, you can see them walking in one camera shot from the big one.
Yeah, they built an archway to look like they were walking into the smaller room. But then the smaller room is back in the studio. If you look closely.
Okay. Anyway, so they're looking around and the Doctor's sort of musing about what type of nutrition the plants get. And eventually...
You'd think that soil would be white with all that stuff dumping on it.
But eventually he finds a load of skulls and bones and things and initially realizes that perhaps the people that were there were actually being used as compost. And this upsets Bill and you get the two-tiered emoji, which essentially is the last thing before the death emoji.
Death emoji.
And the Doctor says, right, that's it, let's leg it. So, but they're able to get past a load of them by just smiling. And I get back to the TARDIS, which I'm just going to move to. The Doctor says to Bill, because apparently it's safe outside the city. I can't understand that one, but there you go.
Why
not? I don't know. Why not, indeed?
Because it's basic. It's not their problem anymore.
Because it'd be useful.
Yeah, it's not their problem.
Because it's useful in the script for them to be safe outside the city. So the Doctor basically tells Bill to stay in the TARDIS while he goes back and blows everything up.
And don't look at my browser history.
I didn't remember. I didn't spot that bit. Or were you just saying that out of the blue, Kirby? Because there's no chance of good looking at your browser history.
No, he says my browser history.
I know. I was trying to tease Kirby. God's sake. So yeah.
Tease me, sorry.
Yeah. The Doctor has a look at the little pendant. There's a little boy waving, and he sort of blags his way past a couple of the bots before bumping back into Bill, who's done what companions normally do.
Penguin with his arse on fire.
Yeah, the companions, what they normally do is completely ignore the Doctor when he says stay in the TARDIS. Yes. So she's earned her stripes for that one. And Laurie Nix says, now we know where... What's that say?
Soylent?
Soylent Green comes from. That made Debbie laugh, so it must have some significance. I was making her laugh quite a lot.
Have you not seen the film?
My goodness!
What film?
You don't know Soylent Green is actually humans being processed.
Aren't I stupid? I don't know. Do you know Soylent Green, Isabella?
I've heard of it.
You've heard of it, have you? Right, I'm going to put my unit hat on for that. That's a ridiculous old school Doctor Who fan.
Spoilers. Soylent like Green is people.
I look a bit like John Davey, friend of the show.
Oh, ruined it now.
Anyway, where do we go? Thank you, Laurie. Be quiet.
I want to wear it.
Right, yeah, so where do we get up to? So
I want a hat like that.
Anyway, be quiet, I'm talking. Yes, yeah, so the Doctor talks to Bill about the fact that the building is actually made of these micro bots.
Dang it.
Right, point deductive.
No, I wanted to wear the
hat off my head.
I just wanted to wear it.
I was getting a real big Euro 6 vibe out of that.
Exclusively mine. I've forwarded too far now. That was your fault. Point deductive.
No, I'm sorry.
For making me fast forward too far.
Isabella. Right. Isabella.
Yeah.
Did the microbots remind you of Big Hero 6?
Yeah.
When he showed them in the wall, it was just that kind of that moment.
Ooh, but Big Hero 6 was probably made after they started making or writing this story, so they probably ripped it off Doctor Who. Anyway, yeah, like you say, the Doctor shows Bill all the microbots, and eventually they sort of wander along the corridor and find a door. Because it's rusty.
A door to nowhere.
No, it's a door to the spaceship.
No, it's a door to nowhere, backwards. The Erewhon. Nowhere.
Okay, thank you, Kirby. He's so pleased with himself. He worked that one out, isn't he? Yeah, I noticed that. Right, so yeah,
obvious. Good grief.
They're in sort of the bowels of...
I wonder if the same person painted Nowhere who painted Red Dwarf. Except that it's not big enough.
Anyway, right, so the Doctor leaves Bill to look at the map while he goes down to find a way of blowing up the whole shebang. But Bill quickly realises that he's put her there for no reason because he knows the way anyway. And the Doctor is sort of rather impressed with the engine itself. Bill stumbles across a dead body.
Master. It's probably a quiz question, but the engine is a Fleischmann cold fusion engine.
Yeah, I wrote that.
when was that? It was back in the 90s, I believe it was.
Yeah.
The claim of cold fusion. Was Fleischmann Pons. One of the scientists was Dr. Fleischmann. So that's where they got the name.
Thank you, Kirby. Right then. So
Gordon Fleischmann.
Yeah,
yes.
Yes, okay.
1989.
But,
oh, is that old? That long
can you
ago?
Not mute from this end? Anyway, yeah, so Bill stumbles across a rather short dead body. Although at least it looks short from the camera angle they were shooting it from.
It wasn't a good angle, was it? No.
Made it look like she had massive feet, a bit like a hobbit. And there are loads of little zoomed-in camera shots, I think that's called Ken Burns, were shown. And that upset Bill because she seems to think it's the story of the human race coming to its end, basically. The Doctor, meanwhile, unplugs some things, and things the machine starts to blow up. And then a boy comes in. Says, are we nearly there yet?
Are we there yet?
That's a Shrek reference, Kirby, by the way. Oh, there's Tom. Hello, Tom.
Hello.
Yeah, sorry.
I was surprised when the Doctor said he rerouted the flow. He should have reversed the polarity.
No, I think that would have been blatant, I think, if he said that. He said he reversed the flow. I think that's good enough. Otherwise, things would just get a little bit too silly. Right, where do we get on? Where do we get up to? I was looking at the wrong screen there. Right, so, yeah, the Doctor has a bit of a scrap with one of the emoji bots and kills it, basically. Kicks it off the things.
That's not very nice.
What?
He basically killed someone.
Wasn't a person. Although he said it's a new life form, so he did kill it.
No, the life form are the nanobots, not the emoji bots.
The emoji bots are the interface.
Emojis are still people.
They're the interface, Debbie.
They communicate, really.
Emojis are still people. They have feelings.
They're the interface, Debbie.
That's it. That's what I meant.
Yeah, that's what I know. But if people didn't interrupt me, I could have got that over probably about 3 minutes ago instead of having to harping on about that. Anyway, right, as I say, so the little boy becomes their little companion for a bit, only for a little bit, though. And then the Doctor discovers...
Until he wanders off.
The Doctor discovers a lot of pods, so he realises lots of human bodies, human people in there that are still alive. So he has to then put all the wires back in their correct places and unblow up the spaceship.
Where do you go and find a gigantic spanner? I mean, these shows always have these giant spanners.
They used to have them in Resident Evil 1, I believe. I'm sure there was a couple of spanners.
It'll come in handy somewhere. Just put it on the wall.
That's the Capcom computer game. So they're still talking over me. I'm on the verge of deducting points at this rate. The Capcom computer game.
You are not
right,
touching points for us being doing banter.
And a point deducted for Debbie for interrupting me, especially when I was trying to allude to a bit of comedy. Mm. Right. Like, so, matey from Royal Family is the first one up. Another point deducted for Kirby. Wrestling paper.
That was paper deliberately
in front of the camera. I don't care if it's a Walmart receipt.
You rustled it again.
It was a CVS receipt.
So the Doctor tells them what they probably more or less implies they've got up a bit early.
Can I just interrupt you a moment?
Of course you can interrupt me, Debbie.
Inform Kirby that the giant professional spanners are about £100.
Giant. But are they not a little bit too heavy to lift, let alone using the spanners?
They certainly look very heavy.
Yeah. I don't see how. You probably need about three people to lift them. Anyway, Terry Miles says it was hanging on the side of the motor. Hanging on the side of the motor. The spanner.
Yeah, and there was one point where the Doctor had just used it to keep the wheel from turning, and a split second later, it's hanging on the side.
Right. So let's move on a bit. Yeah, so they obviously, basically, the Doctor realises that all these people that are being waking up are going to be waking up to find their families are dead, and they're going to get very upset. And basically, the sort of plague of this particular environment is grief, and so they're going to get very upset, and then the emoji bots and the nano bots are going to
kill them
because they think they're keeping the place happy. Essentially, what are you doing?
Not rustling.
It's a time and place for everything. And I haven't had tea yet.
Yeah.
Right. So. Yeah, so the little boy, meanwhile, makes friends with a couple of the emoji bots. Bloke from Royal Family decides he's going to shoot the hell out of the emoji bots, even though they're telling the story.
Yeah, he just doesn't listen.
No, it's just being a typical human.
He said he
listened. A bit like you, Summit. That's right. Why do you stop doing that? All right, point deduction for Isabella for being really irritating. So, yeah. The little boy starts to realise, although he's not the best of actors, he starts to realise that he wants his mum. I want mummy.
Can I say something? I'll be a better actor.
No, you wouldn't. I Want Mummy. It reminds me a little bit of... stop yawning, Kirby. Reminds me a little bit of...
I was up until 2 a.m.
Itchy Child.
God, watching this.
He interrupted you.
No, I'll let him off that one. It reminded me a little bit of Empty Child, the way he said, I want mummy. But he just didn't insert the word, my mummy.
I want my mummy.
Do you? She's in the other room. right, so, yeah. So that one of the emoji bots gets blasted. But in the long term, it helps the Doctor realise how he can solve the situations, because so he switches everything off and on, or reboots them, and they forget everything, which then enables everybody to...
He's been watching the IT Crowd.
Essentially. So it's kind of, it's what people like Ben and that complain about most in a Moffat environment, the big... Well, no, it's more of an RTD environment, a big reboot. Essentially, it was a big reboot, wasn't it?
but it didn't bother me in this case.
Didn't really.
It's lovely and bright, this series.
So far, yes.
This is one where the reboot was justified. So.
Okay, the reboot, and it was a literal reboot rather than... yeah. I'm going to have a quick sip of tea.
Can I wear your hat?
Yeah.
Can I wear your hat? Please.
No. Right, so the Doctor and Bill leave them to live happily ever after, and the Doctor says he's going to take Bill back to, obviously, the moment they left, but there was a hint at the beginning of the story when he said the TARDIS will take them where the TARDIS needs to take them. So they end up on a frozen River Thames, basically.
With an elephant at a frost fair.
African elephant, yeah.
Yeah. poor elephant. Probably dead, though, after about 5 minutes in that sort of environment. But then we see quite a rather charming...
Apparently, they really did have elephants at that frost fair.
Do they? Thank you for that, Kirby.
I'll be doing some frost fair research between now and next week. I'm just warning you.
Terry Miles says, yet another reboot. I think it was essentially agreeing with me. So the preview looks quite good fun, actually. And I love the costumes and that. Really, really good. So that's it for that particular story. Right. Say what I think about it now before we let Isabella talk nonsense. Where's the off button? I can't find the off button. You only get distracted by the telly. Oh, there it is. Right. I want to watch this match, too. It's Real Madrid.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Was okay. I had a couple of problems I got with it. One, like I said, the way the Doctor was sort of reacted to Nardole annoyed me. There was a couple of other things. I didn't think, you know, when the woman's in the field, right? She gets a call from her relative, who knows that if her other relative she's calling in the field gets miserable, she's going to die. So the moment she gets back into the dangerous environment of the city, she tells her something that's going to upset her. So why didn't she say, stay where you are.
And listen carefully.
Do not come back into the city because everybody's died. And if you come back in and get upset about this, you will die. So that was a bit silly. I thought that was a bit annoying, actually. You probably don't agree with me, but I just thought the whole setup for that
bit. I disagree.
Bit, of the fact that she's called her in to say, don't get upset, mum's dead. I just thought that was a bit silly. If you didn't want your another one of your relatives to die, because you know they're going to get upset and they will die if they get upset.
That was really
was stated later that it happened very quickly one morning. So they were just, it was just one of those things that happened.
It's just, I don't agree. Like, she didn't really play it like that part.
I think you got that wrong. She did play the part well.
She was panicking, trying to laugh.
She was trying to act somebody who was trying to act happy when she wasn't. I think she did quite well, actually. And that actress was in The Thin Blue Line, was a really, really good comedy series starring Rowan Atkinson.
Yeah.
I love her.
And I think she was in a series of Sarah Jane Adventures.
Yeah, she was.
As well. Playing
she was?
Rani's mum. Rani's mum.
Oh, really?
Mum.
I hadn't noticed that.
Hadn't you? She hadn't noticed it.
I always watched Sarah Jane. I always watched it.
That's irrelevant. Yeah, so that part of it, I thought, like I say, the
there was an elephant in the
cinematography was beautiful. Like I say, absolutely lovely with the wheat field. And oh, the sets and everything was really good. So most of the story was fine. I thought it was all right. I didn't mind the reboot at the end. Sometimes it's you know, it's the only way you can get out of a situation like that. And where they actually rebooted a computer that can be rebooted, it's fair enough. But there was certain aspects. It wasn't perfect. It was a sort of middling story for me. But it was okay. Quite enjoyed it. New Doctor Who. I watched it again and still quite enjoyed it, but there was a couple of irritating things for me. What did you think then, Isabella? This is going to be interesting. Wait for it, everybody. Come on then.
Okay.
At this point, you start speaking.
I did think it was pretty good, but with like the emoji butts.
That's your assessment of the story, is it?
No. No, I'm not finished. But I was quite disappointed that Nardal wasn't in it much.
Mm-hmm.
He was only in it from, like, when it came to the beginning, and I bet he's not in the next episode.
He probably is. We right at the end when they arrive back.
But
yeah, probably.
He's supposed to be the second assistant thingy.
Look, we've had stories when Amy Pond was the companion, and she wasn't in an episode because the Doctor went off and did his own thing for an episode. It's not a new thing.
Okay.
Yes. Anything else?
But besides that, yeah, I think it was pretty good.
Midnight.
Actually.
Donna was hardly in Midnight at all. I'm just proving a point. It's all just the Doctor. But is that it? Is that your assessment? Of somebody who hates Doctor Who and only likes Star Wars and Harry Potter.
Shut up.
Yeah, go on.
But still, besides like putting the Nardal thing away, it was a good episode actually.
There was a couple of points in which you sat up.
Yeah, I sat up.
But I can't remember what were.
When it kind of like, came to the kitchen.
Oh, she was slumped down and then something happened on there. Like that. What was that?
When it came to like the shiny bit.
What shiny bit?
Like when it came. Everything like
what's
went
the
blank.
Bit? No, yeah. You didn't sit up at that bit.
It did. It's like, what happened?
Oh, maybe you did.
I sat up in the back because I didn't have a clue what happened.
Alan T. Butcher says, yet another robot. Well, it's a science fiction fantasy TV show. There's going to be robots. Okay.
What's wrong with robots?
Indeed. Okay, who should we go for? Hang on, shall we flip a coin? Siri because... hang on, it's right on it.
Why can't you do Siri?
Because Siri's filming at the moment. Hey, Siri. Oh, for goodness sake. Hang on. Do you stop leaning over me when I'm trying to do? I can do it on my own, you know.
All you had to do was just say someone.
Shush.
It's taking far too long.
Shut up. Flip a coin. It's tails. Oh, it does work. Right then. I'll do another one.
Heads or tails.
Shut up. Right. Debbie's a lady, isn't she? So Debbie, heads or tails?
Tails.
Hey Siri, oh no, what am I doing? Flip a coin.
Tails.
Oh, well done, Debbie. Right then. So, Debbie, you get to go first. What did you think of the episode?
I actually really like this because I've been so excited, so geared up for the new season and just season series. And it was bright, it was beautiful. The cinematography of this episode was spot on. It was really good. You had the brightness of the
reinstated for agreeing with me.
Thank you. It was sumptuous building that they used, obviously, as Kirby said, from Valencia. And
Valencia.
I really enjoyed the whole idea of emoji still being a recognised language.
Cool. Can I interrupt? Because that's the thing that annoyed me. The fact that they're supposed to be how humans communicate at that stage, yet all the wording on that logo was all standard English, the wording on that thing. So it was a bit contradictory. Carry on, Deb.
Even if you were to come across a completely different species, they'd still be able to communicate in emoji. So it's sort of, it's a bit like a Babel fish, sort of very primitive Babel fish.
They're like modern day hieroglyphs, aren't they, emojis?
Yeah, exactly.
I think there'll be something else out when we get to that stage in history.
Yeah, basically it is communicated like hieroglyphics, as you say. When you when you put your emoji screen up and instead of writing a word, you can put an emoji up that will say the sentence for you. It was nice to see how they decided to evolve that into this way the Vardi communicated through the robots.
Assuming that the alien knows what a smile is.
That's we could go off into a whole wibbly wobbly, but it, generically speaking, a smile is a smile, and a tear is a sad face, you know, and you can then gauge your reaction that way. Yes, Isabella is demonstrating the emojis.
Yeah, but right. The fact is that the two-tier face before it turns to a skull, I was looking for that emoji today, and the nearest thing I could find to it was the ones where the tears stream down the face.
Yeah,
that's it, just those ones. So, no, maybe they just made a new one. I did like the emoji with the question mark on the doctor most of the time. I thought that was good. The question mark being the...
That emoji.
One of the emojis, the curious emoji, with the finger. Yeah, they didn't seem to have the finger things going on with these emojis. It was literally just sort of the face. But I also like the whole idea of... we've obviously met arcs of humans going off into space before. And it was nice to revisit sort of an old style. You know, he refers to it sort of offhand. Oh, yeah, we've met arcs of humans before. You know, that sort of thing. Wow. Having been watching the classic Who, it's nice to be able to have a reference point. But... I thought it was nice because it established Bill as a standalone character, but as a decent companion, not as in, oh my God, we're going to go all out for Bill. It was nice that the Doctor was basically making her play catch up the whole time. because like when she's doing the map reading for him, and she could have just taken a picture of it, and he'd already memorized it and things like that. She basically was blaming him for keeping her safe, but he was just testing her really more than anything, just to see if she was worthy of her ride, I suppose. And it was nice to see Nardole quickly at the beginning and then not to have him, because we probably got a couple of episodes with just Bill, and then after next week's episode we'll go back to having Nardole on board as well, and then there'll be a bit more about the vault. I can see that that's the way we're going with
this. They've seen the scripts.
No, I haven't.
Kirby has. Terry Miles does, is that a smiley emoji?
No, probably. It's the one about the money.
The money emoji. Terry Miles have done five money emojis.
Yes, the rent negotiations at the end was good. And the old, as you say, the old classic off and on, turning it off and on. A lot of problems in films and TV programmes would be solved if there was an on-off switch.
Well, Kirby knows all about the on-off switch. He's forever rebooting his computer.
Hang on. I'm going to reboot.
Last week was brilliant. This week's was just a continuation, I felt. I didn't feel the same elation, you know, as you do, obviously, a series starter, and just how brilliant that was. Obviously, with the controversial ending, why this monster suddenly turned nice, obviously, last week. But it's nice to see the continuation of the story and just to watch where we're going. But now we're going to go back in time, so we'll see what happens next. So it's bridging story, introducing Bill properly.
Yeah, but it's basically what he did with Rose. He took her to the future, to the end of the world, and then he took her back to Dickensian time. So it's a similar sort. Although this Doctor's accidentally taken her back. And
it's a similar story arc.
The other tie-in is the fact that the Doctor took Rose back, and Rose's real name was Billy, and blah-de-blah-de-blah-de-blah. Are you done?
Yeah.
I was going to make another point you were talking about. It reminded me of something. I've forgotten what it is. Kirby, go on.
I was very skeptical going into this one because of Frank Cottrell Boyce's last attempt at doing a Doctor Who story, which is one of the worst things I've ever seen on Doctor Who.
Which was?
In the Forest of the Night.
All right, okay.
Oh, I hated that. although there is another story that I disliked more than that, but that's... anyway, so I was pleasantly surprised. I was thinking this whole emoji bot thing was not going to work out. And this was really, really good. I disagree with you with the initial scenes in the TARDIS. I had no problems with those whatsoever. The Doctor was cross because he doesn't like being under this oath, whatever it is, and was just dismissing Nardole. We don't know what's going on yet. I had no problems with that. I love the interplay between the Doctor and Bill. They're great. It's very much a Seventh Doctor and Ace sort of feeling for me. And I love all the throwbacks, the references. I mean, we had Ark in Space. We had the Happiness Patrol. Even a touch of the Beast Below, as I noted on Facebook. Because all three of those are obviously from the same whatever happened on Earth. I believe it's 52nd century, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so no one wants to hear what I have to say.
Hello, I'm listening.
I'm listening.
I'm listening.
I just got one of Deb's really nice looks. I have no problem at all with... Of all the reboots, I dislike rebooting the universe. I had no problem rebooting the Nanobots. Because completely different scale.
Mm-hmm.
And it works for this. And this was just beautiful. Can you imagine if Doctor Who, classic Doctor Who, had had this sort of a budget?
Mm.
Oh, and
really, really gorgeous, sumptuous stories out there that weren't given the budget it was due, definitely.
Also, I think they would have gone over the top with it. I think that in some ways, not having the budget helped the stories, because they were just exceptionally good stories, and they told them as a good. But so I think sometimes when too much money is thrown at a production, you might get absorbed into the production rather than the actual story. Sometimes.
On Facebook, Dominic Glynn, you know who Dominic Glynn is,
yes.
the composer.
Yes.
He was the composer for the Happiness Patrol, and he and Andrew Cartmell were commenting overnight that wouldn't have this been lovely with a Dominic Glynn soundtrack?
No. But funny you should say about Happiness Patrol. About 2 minutes into the story, I said to sort of mumble the words, "Oh, it's a remake of Happiness Patrol," which essentially it was a little bit. It's just it was done more.
I guess I haven't seen the Happiness Patrol. I've seen the first episode.
The same sort of premit. Is it premit? Is that the word phrase?
Remit. Yeah.
Thank you, Teacher Debbie.
Keep smiling.
Oh, and so I liked it. I liked it a lot better than you did.
Mm, it's okay. I didn't dislike
it.
I did have a note for last week. Someone pointed out, I believe it was the 2 Minute Time Lord's new, no longer 2 Minute podcast. It's now an hour to an hour and a half.
Oh, have they nicked our idea?
Huh?
Has he nicked our idea? Probably never even heard of us.
No, he's heard of us because I met him at a time gate many years ago.
And oh, yes.
Like, it was right after I started on talking with you.
Okay.
Anyway. They pointed out, it's either that or it's some podcast I listened to the past week,
yes.
Pointed out with last week on the pilot. Remember the Watergirl's name was Heather?
Yeah.
And our companion is Bill.
Yeah.
Bill Hartnell's
right.
Heather.
Yes. I did think of Bill Hartnell, actually, and the fact that this character is called Bill today, actually, but I didn't put the Heather bit in with it.
Yeah, it was all over Facebook, the Bill Heather thing. It was, every classic Who site had it up, yeah. It's like, look at this, look what we found. It's like, yep.
So who knows, that may be, if they get back together at the end, which I suspect is going to happen.
Something came to me while sort of half daydream or something like that, the possibility of the Doctor being in the vault is quite high, because Moffat's already done, he's already hid the Doctor in a sort of casket for an episode. But I got to thinking that Susan might be part of it, and I got thinking that maybe at some point Susan is with the 12th Doctor as a younger little girl. And the 12th Doctor, because I've heard that, obviously, we've heard the first Doctor's coming back later on in the series.
Yeah, I was about to bring that up.
Maybe the 12th Doctor gives Susan as a younger child to the first Doctor, and that's how he ends up with her. And maybe that's why he calls her the grandfather, because she said, he tells her, this is your grandfather. Doesn't tell her that the Doctor is, in fact, him. I don't know, it's just something that came to mind, possibly, but... I am sort of thinking that it's either the Doctor or the Master in the vault.
Probably the Master.
But I'm thinking if it's true that we see the Doctor regenerate, because he says well, this death scene's been filmed, and we see a bit of a regeneration going on, and it's a proper regeneration, because he throws his head back and everything, that we do carry on with the 12th Doctor right up to the Christmas special. So maybe that's how the Doctor in the vault is the one we see carrying on to the Christmas special, or maybe in the Christmas special he goes back and finds himself in the situation where he has to regenerate. I don't know. But it's quite good, because it's making you try and imagine these potential scenarios. Could you stop knocking the table? There is a microphone attached to it. It's worse than you, Debbie. Have you noticed this? Anyway,
so far for two episodes into this series, I'm enjoying this series very much.
So am I. I didn't say it was rubbish, the episode. I'm just saying it wasn't. I'm trying to be critical of it. I found a couple of things to criticise about it, whereas the previous one, there wasn't that much I could criticise about it. On the whole, it was a really, really good story. Everybody done?
Yeah.
Feedback time. It's an audio feedback. Shall we play it?
Who is it?
Well, you'll hear when it's played.
Hello, 20 Megapod Doctor Who Bite Grammars. This is Ben speaking from, well, my front room, saying hello, how is everybody?
Fine, thank you, Ben.
Well, there was a gap for you to reply there.
I did reply.
Try that again. Hello, how is everybody?
Like I said, fine, thank you, Ben.
Like a boss. Very sad to hear that. Anyway, I'm all right. Just thought I'd pop by and say hello and give you a couple of thoughts on the latest couple of episodes of Doctor Who. Well, I say the latest couple of episodes. Actually, it's three, because I only watched the Christmas episode on last Saturday, actually, the day of the new series starting. I watched it in the morning. It's like a kind of double Doctor Who special. Really enjoyed the Christmas special. I thought it was very entertaining. Peter Capaldi is just fantastic, as I will say probably a billion times in the next couple of minutes. Just a wonderful, wonderful actor, and just born to play Doctor Who. And it's such a shame that he's decided that three series is enough for him.
Yeah.
I think it would have been really good if he'd have stuck around to see what a good showrunner could have done.
Yes.
Let's be honest, the last two series have just been absolute pants. this series, though, it's started off rather well. Did enjoy the first episode last week. Do like the look of Bill.
She's quite nice.
She's just so down to earth, isn't she? She's just a normal person who the Doctor's picked up. Oh, that sounds a bit ropey. She's just normal, and she's just experiencing the Doctor for the first time. And I think that's one of the good things Stephen Moffat's done in his 56 year debacle as Doctor Who showrunner. So she's good. The story last week was nice and entertaining. It introduced Bill well. And I think now everyone's going to love her lots. As for last night's episode, second episode of the series, not quite as good as the first one. Interesting. Good to see Ralph Little in there, although albeit for 3.5 minutes at the end. I was a little bit thinking those robots looked a little bit like the ones that were in The Girl Who Waited. They're not massively the same, obviously, but it's the same kind of idea.
Yeah.
And with the thing that happened last week as well, which has also happened before in Doctor Who, it kind of makes me think that, I can't remember what that was, by the way, but I know there was something that happened last week. It just makes me think Moffat's running out of ideas, so maybe it's time for him to go. What? He is?
Yes.
Fantastic! good couple of episodes so far. Couple of questions, though.
Yeah.
Firstly, what's in the vault? Ooh, who knows? Could it be the Master?
The Doctor.
Yeah, probably. Or is it an elephant? No, I think it's probably the Master. But we'll have to wait and see on that, because if it's not the Master, well, unless it's Bessie. Unless Bessie's in there for some long-term repairs or something and he's going to crack her open. That sounds a bit rude.
I think it's Master TARDIS.
He's going to crack open the vault and bring Bessie out in the last couple of episodes. And, I don't know, maybe join the British Grand Prix and win due to some sonic screwdrivering of everyone else's car. I really don't know where I'm going with that, but I don't know. Good so far, quite enjoying it. Hope you're all right. I know it's going to sound a bit strange me saying I enjoy something that Stephen Moffat's doing, but it's with the knowledge that he is leaving, and so therefore I can allow myself to look at it and think, wow, he'll be off soon. But it's a stupid story arc, and it's the fact that he keeps changing Doctor Who history. That's what I really don't like. Oh, the other thing, Doctor Who said he was 2,000 years old in the first episode. Well, hold on a minute. If you add up all the timelines that have been going on since it's rebooted, he's actually 2,200 years old, and that's not taking into account the 7.5 billion years he spent trying to smash his way through that big rocky crystal type thing. 7.5 billion years. What a stupid, stupid story. That's why I hate Moffat, because he does things like that. 7.5 billion years. So how can he be 2,000 years old if he spent 7.5 billion years being someone? His body has still aged. Anyway, I shall endeavour to record something again next week.
Please do.
The third episode, where we have an elephant walking along the in the frozen fair of 17 or
might 18, be right for Monday.
Is it 1813? Oh. Something like that. I'm not too good on my history or geography or maths, English, science. Well, that's probably why I'm still unemployed after 18 months after losing my last job. But anyway,
I'm unemployed.
Hope you're all good. And Adam, lovely to speak to you. Yeah, it was nice, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Well, maybe we can do it again sometime.
Please do.
Okay, I won't then.
Oh, for God's sake.
Bye.
Bye, Ben. What a bonus. Why, what's this then? What, any comments on that particular, apart from, yay, Ben's back?
Even no, that's all I can say is, yay, Ben's back.
Yeah, back. Even though it's just an encapsulated Ben rather than the one you can actually interact with. You can't even remember him.
We were still interacting with him.
Isabella just went, yay, Ben's back, but she can't remember him on the show, but never mind. There's
okay,
this.
How you doing? Smile.
I will.
The second story of Series 10. Not bad, not good, really. But I managed to get through it without falling asleep or being distracted to other things, which, in all honesty, in previous episodes of the Contemporary series, that's been the case. But I got through this, so we're two down, and we've got about nine or eight to go, so
ten,
it's looking
isn't it?
Promising. But an average story, I thought, for a standalone episode of Doctor Who. Slightly on par, I think, with Eccleston's second story, The End of the World. And, you know, Smile's probably not one I'll see again, because I thought he was fairly Marmite, actually. But very cool, very hip, in this ever-increasing world of social media and texting with the use of emoji robots and so on. Slightly reminiscent, I thought, of the Happiness Patrol in the context of either
that.
Be happy or you're dead, or
I
in this case,
that.
Smile, or you're
I
dead.
Said that.
Yeah, so there you go.
I'll be back in
no reference to Bill's sexuality in this story, which I thought was good. But I'm sure at some stage throughout this particular series, we'll probably get some reference to it. I think it's inevitable. But with that said, I do like Bill. She makes me smile quite a lot, actually. Yeah, anyway. But I love the character development, or the continual character development in this story of Bill and her interaction between the Doctor and her. And from my point of view, that's what this particular episode was about more than anything else. So that was good. And I think Bill's looking quite promising as a character.
Indeed.
So yes. I'm looking forward to seeing more of that good stuff. Okay, I'm looking forward to next week, which looks quite interesting. So we've got a week to wait. So that's it for my lot. Have a beautiful day. Take care.
Oh, thank you, Billy. I'm disappointed you said good stuff and not great stuff, because that's sort of his catchphrase. Joshua Dyball says, very good appraisal by Ben. Mm. He'd be absolutely delighted to hear that, but he wouldn't have any hesitation in saying, of course it was. Okay, right. Oh, notice Deb disappears when we approach the Alan T. Butcher part of the proceedings. Funny that, isn't it?
No, just wait. There she is.
Oh, she's back. That's good then, because I'll dispatch that to her in a minute. Right, where are we going? I was going to play the... here it is.
Hello, gentlemen. My podcast is Ian Kirk. First, a couple of things about last week's episode.
Yes.
In Tales of Old, the protagonists travelled on a flying carpet. Bill buys the Doctor a rug and he puts it next to the TARDIS. The Doctor is said to have been teaching at St. Luke's for 50 to 70 years.
Yeah.
Bill Hartnell played the Doctor 54 years ago. So this Doctor's time at St. Luke's might overlap all the other Doctors.
True.
Bill Hartman's wife was called Heather. Bill falls for a Heather in this story.
Yes.
Smile by Frank Cottrell Boyce. A bit like the Happiness Patrol, and that smiling is compulsory. This story was filmed in Spain, and it was hot work for the robots.
Hmm.
Moffat is making fun of emojis.
Rude.
Hardly any Nardole this week.
Indeed.
Yeah.
The spaceship at the heart of the city uses Fleischmann Cold Fusion.
It does.
Fleischmann and Pons announced Cold Fusion in 1989.
There you go, Kirby. Didn't know that, did you?
Nothing ever came of it. Even Moffat said he is to have a story set in the future, followed by one set in the past, like Russell T. Davies used to do it.
Well, there you go.
He's going back to the future.
Mm.
Or rather, back to the future, followed by the past.
Mm.
The spaceship Erewhon is named after an 1872 novel about a fictitious country supposed to be the perfect society, but was not. The same author later wrote about machines developing self-awareness. Erewhon is an anagram of nowhere.
There you go, Kirby, didn't know that, did you?
If the seats were nearer the controls, the doctor would not be able to rush from control to control. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. That was all very good fun. I love the way that Kirby tries to outdo Ian Kirk before his feedback. Only because he's actually read Ian Kirk's feedback.
No, I don't. Oh, I haven't found it.
Oh, all right. Okay, then. Do you believe that, Ian? Send it in on your next feedback. Do you believe Kirby tries to second guess your feedback? I think he does. All right, where's that?
No,
Deborah?
It's just that we tend to notice the same things. But no, I have not. I just looked for his feedback and I couldn't find it. You mentioned it.
Oh, you couldn't find it, even though it's almost word for word.
You anyway. Send up for this feedback already, otherwise it make me look like a numpty.
I've just sent it to you, impatient person. Did I just tread on your foot then?
No, you didn't.
That's all right then. I didn't really want to tread on your foot because it might have hurt.
That Valencia video is now on the Doctor Who YouTube feed.
Is it? Stop interrupting Deb's dictatoring of the feedback that Alan T. Butcher, hopefully future MP Alan T. Butcher, has sent us. Please do.
Yeah. Dear 20 megabyters, Smile was, of course, a closely studied critique of capitalist failure by the operation of a faulty feedback loop. The automated system of delivering the needs of a community, the market, goes completely against the real needs of consumers, pushing them into something they don't want to bring an end to their discontent, in this case, grisly death. In the real world, this can also be grisly death, but often it is the acceptance of terrible employment circumstances, unsafe workplaces, or wasting their limited wealth on some empty consumer widget. I love that word, widget.
What, Izzle of widget?
Sorry?
Izzle of widget.
Izzle of widget. Consumer resistance is shown to be detrimental as the causal loop nullifies any attempt to break the system working within the set paradigm. The resolution is, of course, heavy intervention by an outside force and new rules being implemented. The doctor, as a proxy for government here, then negotiates a social contract to create a sustainable relationship between citizens.
Take a breath,
and
Debbie. Take a breath.
Sorry?
Take a breath.
Well, he's not put a pause in, so I don't... I read it as it's... You know,
you are supposed to breathe.
Yeah, I didn't need to breathe.
Okay.
Really. Do now. The doctor, as a proxy for government here, then negotiates a social contract to create a sustainable relationship between the citizens and the system in a classical form of socialist mixed economy. We also learn that, unlike in the Ark, the Refugians this time have the good sense to keep quiet from the start, allowing their non-corporeal invisibility to keep them safe from an interaction with these lunatic humans with their strange capitalist ideas. All in all, Smile was a bit dull, but allows our new TARDIS crew to get to know each other in front of us. Probably a bit overlong. This could have been done in 35 minutes, surely. Those are Alan T. Butcher.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, Alan.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Right, I'm going to have to...
What was that?
I'm going to have to...
It was agreeing.
It was sort of... Yeah, and then it echoed through on various systems. Right, I'm going to have to move my microphone because...
It's me. Hello.
I don't like moving my microphone. But I'm going to have to go over here.
Hello.
And that will require me to move the microphone.
It.
I'll move it back again. I have to press my little gadget. There we go. Right.
Didn't you use that for the camera ones?
Camera ones? What are you talking about?
like when it came to like the Starlight Boutique show for the magic, you didn't use that.
Yes, it's a tripod adapter.
I'm dumb.
Oh, Kobe's gone all to the chair. Just like for old time's sake. Where's my iPad gone? Oh, there it is. Right, I better make sure it's not connected.
I had something to hold it up when it was upstairs.
You had something to hold it up with, did you? Hey!
We're doing the twist again. For
the twist. Where's my... This is very awkward, this.
Should, like, you get double points.
Oh, this is fascinating.
That's not the twist. This is part of... I can't do this. How am I supposed to balance this there?
I want to guess, like...
And do the score. I could tell you that.
Right. Oh, no,
this is podcasting of the highest order, you know. Alan T. Butcher
said that.
At the general election.
Shut up.
I want to say it.
Say it now, then. Over here, the microphone's here.
Right, fine. My application for candidature at the general election is in.
Yay! That means that Alan has put himself forward for the general election. Let's hope he gets into Parliament so we can say we've got a genuine Doctor Who fan.
So he can come up. He wants to come up, knock on your door, hold up his ID, and say, "And
go. I'm not in his constituency. Why would he do that? You silly man, huh?
I'm green.
I beg your pardon, my darling.
No, he's got it.
Vic, slow the in for the island.
Yeah, whatever. Right then, now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
I won't.
Talking about reboots, the quiz is having a reboot because I've thought of a new idea to make a little bit more interesting. I am no longer in the quiz because you lot are so rubbish, it's not even worth me entering because I'm just going to win every week. Right then, oh dear, I can hear noises from outside.
For crying out loud. What are you on about?
We've got a good chance this week. Right then, Debbie, who do you think is going to be ahead at the end of the... quiz part of the game?
Kirby.
Alright, okay. Kirby, who do you think? Isabella, who do you think out of you three is going to be ahead at the quiz?
I think it's going to be Kirby.
Okay, right. Okay, Debbie, who do you think is going to be on the bottom?
Isabella.
Yes, thank you.
Isabella, who do you think is going to be on the bottom? And Kirby, who do you think is going to be on the bottom?
Isabella.
Well, that's a bit of a shame, isn't it? Okay, right.
It might surprise us.
Now, the other change amongst this particular setup is that I'm no longer in, like I said, but all the wrong points go into a pot. And those points can be won at the end of the quiz as a big package of points. Okay, so the first question goes...
Let me see the pot.
I haven't got the pot yet.
Can we do jokers still?
Yeah, jokers are still there, yes. Andy's not here, so everybody should indeed play their jokers.
I think I'm Andy today.
Andy did well last week. Right, now, Debbie, your first is... Don't interrupt, I'll deduct points. I'll just tell you what the scores are at the moment. Debbie is on -1. Isabella is on -3. And Kirby's on -6.
Okay. Kirby, we're doing so well.
Okay, right. So first question points deducted for interruptions as well. What's the point? I'll rephrase that, right. Debbie's on -2. Isabella's on -3 and Kirby's on -6. I'm not in the game now, so I'm not cheating or anything. Got to behave themselves. Right, okay, right then. First question goes, Debbie, what is a mistake in the TARDIS?
The seat's not being close enough to the console.
Should have played a joker.
She's now down to zero.
You're
joking.
Yeah.
Isabella.
Oh, God.
Points for the bonus part, I think, coming here. Right then, what do you think? Hang on, sorry. What do you do with a TARDIS if you don't steer it?
I know.
Oh no.
Hang on, I'm getting problems here trying to get my.
No. You're mean.
Am I?
Yes.
Well, an answer would be quite useful.
I don't know what.
Go on. Who should I know?
Me.
Go on then.
It's you negotiate with her. It was my cloak.
She's on.
And I forgot.
Okay, Kirby.
Master.
What did the doctor say when Bill suggested she stole the TARDIS from him?
I don't remember.
Oh, another point in the bonus pot.
I'm thinking.
Well, somebody come up with the answer for a point that we've got useful.
I don't know.
Yeah. Debbie?
She can try.
Nearly right, but not. So it's another 2 points in the bonus pot there. The answer was, on you go.
Oh.
Next question goes to Debbie.
Yeah?
Why the future?
Joker.
Oh. Yeah.
Wants to see if it's happy.
Excellent.
Smile.
Because I'm rubbish.
And you played your joke, because that's gone. Right then. Isabella.
Oh, God.
You won't get this one. who was hungry in the field?
I know.
I don't know her name.
No, that's a shame, because that's what the question is.
Why would I know her name?
Okay, go on. Kirby, you said you knew.
Yes, Kezia.
So Kirby goes down to minus.
I have a bird now the brain dog is, with names. Dog
is
okay.
To get in. Hang on, the yes. Shush! Dog is trying to get in. I got him the door. The dog is in.
Why am I getting the hard one?
Look, because you're substituting Mary this week, so that's probably why. So was that the last one for Kirby? It was, wasn't it? Yeah. So let's have a score update.
Even magic's come around. Like,
right, mind he doesn't trip over any of the wires. Well, it's going to knock my phone.
That was not my question. So we're not at a score update.
It was your question.
That was Isabella's question.
I don't think it was.
It was my question.
I think it was. Point deducted for Debbie and point deducted for Kirby for getting it completely wrong.
It was
Isabella's question.
Isabella's question.
Did I get 2 points?
Was it?
Yeah, it was.
Yes.
Point reinstated for Kirby and point reinstated for... I'm losing the plot now.
And it should be my question.
It is your question. Stop. Yeah, try and stop that from being knocked off by the idiot dog. The dog has just tripped over my phone cable and basically knocked the Facebook camera flying.
Yeah. We're back.
No, he's trying to come back now.
Is he trying to get under the table again?
He can get under the table. I cleared it all away. Next question goes for Kirby. Right, here, Kirby. Which is Earth?
I don't know.
Oh, sorry. Which was... Way? Which was is Earth?
Which way?
Oh, which way is Earth? Why does that say was? Well, why would which it spell check Earth? It from way to was? Hang on, I'll change that. Yeah, Kirby, which way is Earth?
Joker, any way you choose to look.
No, you would have got to get the Joker.
Say that, I wouldn't say
that gets you down to minus one. Now, the thing is, if you'd said the full line, which was space is bent anywhere you choose to look, you would have got a bonus point there, but you didn't. Magic! He's going to go grab it. Quick.
I didn't know how to... I knew that was part of it, but I didn't know how to fit it in. I thought you deduct.
That's what she said. Okay. Right. Right. I'm going to just deconfuse these scores. So Debbie is on...
Deconfuse these scores.
Kirby's... Isabella's on minus three.
I'm sorry.
And Kirby is on...
Minus one. Minus.
No, he's on zero now.
Zero? Yeah. I told you I'd lose.
Okay, right. Next question goes to Debbie.
Yes?
What would happen if the doctor got lost? Why does it say in?
Ooh.
What would happen, Debbie, if the doctor got lost?
I know.
No, I can't remember.
Oh, good. Points in the bonus pot. Kirby knows.
It would be a worry. It's best not to dwell on it.
Word for word correct. Bonus point. What is he doing?
I don't have a clue.
He looks like he's having a great time.
No, he's just clambering around.
Everywhere.
Last time he did this, he peed in the kitchen and I slipped on it.
This is why I don't have dogs.
If it's any consolation, as I was going to kick I kicked over the cat water bottle.
Did you? Where are we now? Whose question? That was Debbie's question, was it? Right. No, that was Kirby's question.
It was Debbie's.
Debbie's question, right. So this is Isabella's
keep
question.
Keep it straight.
Stop flapping your ears.
I'm going to...
Sorry.
Isabella. What did the Doctor really like about humanity?
I know.
Come on,
Brian. Not the way she pretends she sort of knows the answer, but she hasn't got a clue.
Shut up, Dad.
Go on, then.
Come on, Brain, wake up.
He's going to knock that cable again in a minute.
Seriously, Magic, stop it. I'm trying to think. Right.
He's going to got it. He's got it.
What he likes about a human.
I know.
Can't wait all day, Isabella.
I don't know.
Go on, then, Debbie.
He likes humans' optimism.
Yes, and I pointed out the whole business about that location and Tomorrowland and optimism.
If you give me Harry Potter and Star Wars, I'll be okay. But when it comes to, like, remembering these...
Oh, disaster. Isn't it awful having to remember something you could have paid attention to, but you don't? If it was Star Wars... So if it was Star Wars, everyone, oh, it would be a completely different story. Right, the next question goes to Kirby.
Master.
What if you fancy someone?
Huh?
What if you fancy someone?
Oh, yes, I know.
Oh, you have to maintain eye contact with them. Cool.
You nearly say eye candy then, didn't you, Kirby?
Yeah, nearly.
Have you played your Joker yet? He did, didn't he? Yeah.
Yes, I did Joker last time.
Oop. Right, okay. Right, points update because I'm getting.
So we've all jokered except
I'm
for
last.
Isabella.
I know I'm.
In last place with -3 is Isabella. In second place with 4 points, it's Kirby, and in the lead with 6 points, it's Debbie.
You've given me the hard ones.
All right, thank you, Isabella.
That's what Mary said.
What's he doing now?
I don't know.
Just wandering.
He's wandering.
Just pacing around the room. Okay, next question goes to Debbie.
Yes.
What colour was the food?
Blue.
I know.
Oh. Ah, sorry, wrong sound effect. Okay, Isabella.
Oh, God.
What was the food? What was it?
Fish.
I know.
I'll give you 1 point for that. Because that's...
No.
I'll give you 1 point for that. So you're now on -2.
Right,
what did you say, Debbie? Or did somebody?
No, it was Kirby.
Kirby, what is it?
Algae or algae.
That's a correct answer.
And did you notice that Capaldi said algae and Mackie said algae?
Mm-hmm. No,
it was the other way around.
But
I didn't notice that.
I got a point. I got a point.
Yes. Yeah. Craig Hansen's joined the listener. Oh, there's only 3 people watching anyway. Okay, next. Was that your question, Kirby?
No, that was my question.
All right, this is Kirby's question.
Why do you keep getting that messed up?
Kirby, what did the Doctor feel was missing?
Missing. I don't know.
Do I?
Anybody?
Not a clue.
Oh, more points in the bonus box. The answer was the skeleton crew.
Oh, that's right. Bad joke.
Yeah, bad pun.
Oh, yeah.
It's Debbie's go.
I remember.
Yep.
What was the mineral base for the fertilizer?
Calcium.
Oh, she's so clever, isn't she?
Yeah, she's clever.
I took notes.
Isabella.
Oh, God.
Where did Bill suggest they may go next? After the planet, they may go next.
Wait.
When they were going through the corridor, she was trying to maintain a smile. Her and the Doctor were talking about where they may go next.
I know.
I know them too. There's 2 places.
There was two places.
Yes, that's what the question is. You've forgotten.
Oh, I forgot. Okay.
Right, who said I know first out of you two?
Debbie.
Yeah,
Debbie.
Wiltshire and Aberdeen.
Yes, that's two points there. Right, Kirby.
I suck.
Master.
How did the Doctor attempt to persuade Bill to stay in the TARDIS?
Offered broadband.
Oop, damn it, dinger.
I thought it was.
I'll give you 2 points for that.
But don't look at it.
But he also said, watch a movie.
Yay! A point of Isabella, now down to -1. Well done. Yes, that was the bonus point option to say that the fact that she offered her to watch a movie. Right.
Puppy.
Right, so the scores are...
Oh,
In last place with -1 point is Isabella. In second place with 7 points, Kirby. In the lead with 12 points, it's Debbie.
I'm catching up.
Debbie's question.
Yes.
The Doctor is not Scottish. He is what?
He's Ross.
The correct answer. Isabella.
Yes, oh God.
What is the building made out of?
Microbots.
Yay!
You should have jokered.
Should have jokered, yes. But also, for a bonus point, you would have got the interlocking microbots was the full answer, but oh, that's fine.
Oh, come on.
No.
Kirby.
Master.
What was Bill's assessment of the Doctor's ability as a tutor?
He was an awesome tutor.
Oh, getting a bit smarty
and
pants
by the
at the
way,
moment.
When she says tutor, her accent was tutor. Very. I couldn't tell she was saying tutor until I turned on the subtitles.
Right. Well, what did it sound like to you? Because she just said tutor.
Awesome. I don't know. It was just strange.
It sounded like tutor to me. What did it sound like to you, Isabella?
It sounded like tutor to me as well.
You understand the English.
Yeah, the English. That's the language we speak, Kirby.
You probably have problems with my accent.
No. Right then. So that was Kirby's question. So we're round robin back to Debbie.
Yep.
What football team does Jamie Vardy play for?
No idea.
No idea.
Go on in, Isabella.
Why would we?
Well, you look like you knew. You look like you knew.
Why would I know? I was like,
you're sporty.
Master.
Yes.
Master.
Yes.
Master. I'm not answering that question, but the Vardys were named after Andrew Vardy, a computer scientist, not Jamie Vardy, the football player.
Yeah, but I'll put that question in for Andy's benefit. The answer was Leicester City.
Thanks.
Okay, the next question was that your question, Deb?
That was. Yes.
Oh, if you said England, I would have given you a point. Isabella.
Oh, God, no.
You won't get this one.
I know.
What words were around the spaceship's logo?
Oh.
I don't know either.
Why would I pay attention to that?
No, it's just a question. If you don't know it, fair enough.
Sure Debbie has it.
Go on, Debbie. Yeah.
I think it's United Earth Colonization Team.
You think it, do
Yay.
You?
Yay!
Right. Kirby.
You think, Master, you'd think I would learn to write things like that down.
Can you give me a better question next
time? Well, if it happens to land on a better question for you, get it. Right, Kirby.
Master.
What was the colonization project ship called?
Erewhon.
Right, score update. In last place on 1 point, it's Isabella. In second place, 11 points, it's Kirby. And in the lead with 14 points, it's Debbie. Next question goes to Debbie.
Yeah.
Debbie, what type of... That should say knickknacks, but it's the spell checker on this has really gone to cock, hasn't it?
Yeah, I had to put knickknacks in manually, I'm just saying.
What type of knickknacks did the humans bring along with them?
A lot of it seemed to be Egyptian. He was definitely holding Nefertiti's bust at one point.
Oui, but that's not the word I'm looking for.
Favourite.
What'd you say?
Favourite.
I went ding. Right. Deb, it was not a ding, it was a... And Kirby, it's not a ding, it's a... Sorry.
What then?
It was thespian knickknacks.
It was what?
Thespian knickknacks.
Really?
Ask the others. Did he say thespian? Both of you said yes. So that's the word. That's the word.
I don't know. Where was that?
That wasn't mentioned. It was
never mentioned.
It sounded like thespian to me.
I don't know.
No, you're denying it. I asked you. I was trying to listen to that bit while combining language. You two.
Well,
Deb was going on about something inane. I can't remember what it was, and you were talking about something inane.
Is this where I'm going to have to? Now I remember this when I was watching with subtitles. I've watched it with subtitles twice. It's they brought all their favorite knickknacks. Favorite, which is what I said.
Okay.
I said it was the Egyptian archaeology because he's definitely holding Nefertiti.
I just wanted the words that were in the script. That's all.
Do you want me to take a picture of the subtitle?
I'm not bothered. It's 2 points in the bonus pot. Right. Whose go was that?
That was Debbie's, wasn't it?
Mine.
Right, this is Isabella.
Oh, no.
What type of engine did the spaceship have?
I know.
You've heard this so many times today, Isabella.
I know.
You've heard this loads.
I know I have, but I can't. Oh, come on, brain, wake up.
Hitting your head's not going to help.
I commented about it earlier.
Did you?
Yeah, well, she's not going to listen to the program itself. She's not going to listen to what you lot are saying. Five.
I don't know.
Another point and a bonus part. Right, so the answer is... It was Kirby,
wasn't it? Fleischmann Cold Fusion Engine.
Correct.
Named after the Cold Fusion...
We already established this.
I'm just a kid.
Right, Kirby, your question. Kirby. Kirby.
Master.
Why did the Doctor give Bill the map job?
The map job.
I think I know.
I would assume to keep her out of trouble.
Correct. So, score update. In last place, at 1 point, Isabella. However,
if she
hadn't been misbehaving herself prior to the quiz, she'd be on 5 points now. In second place, with 14 points, it's Kirby in the lead with 15 points. It's Debbie. Debbie's question next. Debbie, what did the boy say first?
Are we there yet?
Isabella knew that one.
That was my question. I would have done a joker.
Isabella.
Oh, God.
No, you won't get this one. What was the name of the man that first woke up?
I know.
I know too, but she knows first.
Take a guess.
Yeah.
Tom.
Pardon?
Tom. I don't know.
I think Debbie knows.
Yes.
Wasn't it Steadfast? He's a MedTech One.
Yes.
No, a bonus point for getting it completely right.
Right. Well, the MedTech One is his title, not his.
Yeah, still, it's more than I needed. That's exactly what I've got written down here.
I'm not good with
so,
names.
So, bonus point. Right, Kirby.
Master.
What's the opposite of a massacre?
A lecture. That's right, a lecture.
You guys are being mean to me. Why are you giving me the hard ones?
We're not being...
Stop going on about it.
I got the hard one.
All right.
I get the hard one.
Right, before we last rounds of questions and we get the bonus question at the end. And the bonus question goes to the player that in last place, by the way. I forgot to mention this. Sorry, I forgot to mention that. The bonus question goes to the...
Is it
going to
be hard, though?
I don't know. It is what it is. Debbie, your question next. Ready?
Yep.
How does the Doctor always win at chess?
He kicks over the board.
Yeah.
That's what Isabella does.
I don't.
No, that's what Alicia used to do. That's when she was losing at Monopoly. Isabella.
Yeah.
How did the Doctor assess himself? So what did he say of him? As what did he say that assessed himself?
I know.
You guys. Are I don't remember. You're so mean, Daddy. I don't know.
Okay. So mean. Deb knows.
He's a scary, handsome genius from space. I love that.
This is Kirby's question.
Master.
No, we've done that one, haven't we? Oh, no, this is Kirby's question.
It's Kirby's, yes.
What was the last thing the Doctor said to the emoji bot?
I don't remember.
No, you didn't say that. Anybody?
I can't see.
I want to discuss the rent.
Oh, you're right.
She is right. All right, so the current scores before the final bonus question. In last place, 1 point, Isabella. In second place, with 16 points, Kirby. And in the lead, with 24 points, is Debbie. But there are 19 bonus pot points available for the person, ooh, Isabella specifically.
I'm not going to get that.
If Isabella can answer this question correctly, then she gets all those points. If she doesn't answer it correctly, listen. If she doesn't answer it correctly, just over half of those points are available to the person that can. So that's 10 points available to the person that can answer it correctly. So this is the question, Isabella. Okay. Nobody interrupts, otherwise I get points deducted. What did the Doctor think he might need after all when they discovered snow outside?
coat? I don't know.
No, it wasn't a coat. Anybody?
Cup of tea?
Oh my god, you lot are so rapid. It was a steering wheel.
Oh, that's right.
After all that.
We're so rubbish. I like that.
Okay. No, you're not rubbish, darling. You're just ignorant to decent TV shows. You just want to watch Tribe.
Watch Doctor Who.
No, you just haven't got any taste in television. That's not being rubbish. It's just not having decent taste. Right then, in last place, with 1 point, one creditable point, which would have been 5 if she hadn't misbehaved, is Isabella. In second place, with 16 points, which would probably have been about 21 points if you hadn't been misbehaving, interrupting, and being uncouth, is Kirby. But the winner this week,
can't help it.
Just because she's done notes, and I hope she's not going to go down that road again. Why do you probably do notes because you've got this new.
Why did you do the notes?
This new.
No, I did notes. If you see, oh, sorry, this isn't good for audio. I literally did a page while I was watching it. Didn't pause anything. Just wrote notes like that and enjoyed it. And
you enjoyed it, did you? It's because it's new Doctor Who.
Yeah, I wrote notes the old way, the way I used to. I won't pause the program. I literally just tap a few notes and watch it.
But you said you weren't enjoying Doctor Who while writing notes.
Yeah.
No, I reassessed. I looked back through all my old books of notes, and my first original note taking was literally just half an A4 page of a few pointers. So that's what I did.
Anyway, Debbie's won with 30 points, something or other. Don't be so downhearted, Isabella. It wasn't a difficult question. But I quite like that new quiz. So there's a bunch of points. Move over. I've got to move the microphone back into its original spot.
I thought we had not done. Have you added the points in yet?
Ooh!
I've already lost.
Ooh, Kirby.
I've already lost.
Kirby.
Hey,
no, I haven't.
This is the final.
I've already lost.
Oh, dear. I do apologise. Well done, Kirby. That's a point back for Kirby for reminding me that I'm rubbish at doing my own quiz.
I was wondering why the music was playing.
But there's a few things. That's just an intermediate score because I run out of paper. I have to rewind the music now.
So amazing.
Debbie probably
rewind.
Has. After all that, Debbie probably hasn't even won.
Can I see your tape player?
Okay, so Debbie's score was 30. Isabella's score was 1. And Kirby's score was 17.
Hey, guys, I won.
Okay. Right, so let's go back to what we said tonight. Debbie predicted Kirby was going to win, so her score stays at 30. Isabella predicted Kirby was going to win, so her score stays at 1. And Kirby predicted Debbie was going to win, so his score stays at 17. So it's just as well I didn't bother, isn't it, really?
Wait,
right. Hang on. What?
Debbie won.
He's trying to catch me.
He said I was going to win. And I did.
Yeah.
All right, 34. It goes up to 34.
Oh, my God, I did math.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Did you say math and not maths?
Yeah,
math.
Thank you. Beg your pardon. Point deductive for not talking proper English. That's ridiculous.
My dad's
sorry.
Mean.
It's maths. Mathematics. You
I'm
take the bit. That's
why
mathematics.
Mean.
Maths.
Arithmetic.
Yeah, thank you, Debbie.
I don't know
right,
English. I'm not normal.
Right, then we've got more points to sort out because Debbie predicted that Isabella would be at the bottom. Isabella predicted Isabella would be at the bottom, but she's got no points, so you double no points to no points.
You're mean.
And Kirby predicted that Isabella would be at the bottom, so it goes to 68. So the final score, after all, thank you, Kirby, is in last place with no points is Isabella.
I won.
In second place with 60, place with 60 points is Debbie, but the winner this week with 68 points is Kirby, after all.
Yay!
Oh, it won't play the music anyway. Oh, there we go.
You need to rewind the tape.
Rewind the tape. It's a good system when I work out how it actually works.
You're distracted.
Can I move the microphone now? I'll leave it here. Oh, goodbye. Oh, great. Isabella's going to bed, everyone.
It's only 3:40
in the afternoon. Hang on, wait till the music starts. I don't want to wear the hat now. I'm hot. Wait till the music finishes before
Goodbye.
You open the door. Could you let him out? Because I don't want him weeing in the kitchen. Please. Right. The next thing we've got to do on the show, everybody, is Doctor Who news.
Never heard of it.
Did everybody know that if you go on Twitter and type one of the sort of hashtags, Doctor Who, Time for Heroes, DWS10, Doctor Who in the smaller version, and Whovian, you get the TARDIS emoji come up. Did anybody know that?
No.
What was that again?
If you go to Twitter, if you post a tweet and hashtag Doctor Who, or hashtag Whovian, or hashtag Time for Heroes, or hashtag DWS10, which is Doctor Who Series 10, or hashtag Doctor Who DRWHO, a TARDIS emoji appears next to the hashtag.
Oh, okay.
Did you not know that? Well, I
don't normally do anything on Twitter anyway.
Do not. Well, if anybody who saw my usual weekly tweet that we've released an episode, it is actually on that tweet. So that's just a bit of useless information. I don't know if that works on other platforms. Certainly doesn't work on Facebook, but whether it works on Instagram or not, I couldn't tell you. But yes, let's look at Doctor Who news.
Wait, you don't post on Instagram?
Occasionally I'll post on Instagram. Why? Is there a problem with that?
No, start with Instagram and then I have everything.
I used to like Instagram when I used to post pictures on it, and used to go on Facebook as well. For some reason, it stopped. It doesn't post them on Facebook anymore, so I lost interest.
That's for me. So yeah. I start with Instagram, and it goes to Twitter from there. It goes to Facebook from there, and then I've got if this then that rule, which then takes that and posts it to my blog.
Yeah, but that's what I'm trying to say. That's what it did for me when I first joined it. But more recently, whatever I post on Instagram just stays on Instagram. Oh, God, she's back. So they're outside?
No.
Are they back in now? So what do you say I've got to do?
Lock the garden door.
Well, I'm going to let them out again. I've got to have a bath at some point this evening. So Doctor Who news. It says press reaction. Debbie, can you do the press reaction? Because I get my eyes go cross.
Excellent adventure is how the Telegraph described the second this year's series of Doctor Who. Paper is a big fan of new companion Bill. Digital Spy agrees that Capaldi and Mackie are an all-time great TARDIS team.
Yes, they are.
Are they great? Technica, I wouldn't say they're all-time great, but they're yes. Go on.
Yeah, Ars Technica praises the dialogue, the almost rhythmic dialogue in the script for Smile, and helps the viewer become better acquainted with Bill. And the Nerdist also praised Mackie's performance. She was pretty cool, wasn't she? Screen Rant also looks at the two main characters. It's all about, most of the feedback is all about the building of the relationship. It's not all praise, though. Mirror felt feeling the episode didn't reach its full potential in the story in that punch. The Radio Times also felt the episode was devoid of real emotional investment.
Yeah, I read that Radio Times one. I was surprised. What's wrong with them?
Exactly.
I also felt the episode lacked something. The problem is that the episode can't decide whether it wants to figure out why people who don't smile were murdered, or focus on action sequences about emoji robots. Okay, pick one and stick to it. Kate and Matt felt the story was solid. IGN liked the message of the story, that the Doctor is only able to save the colonists by realising that he also has to save the emoji bots. AV Club returns the dynamic of the TARDIS team. Doctor Who news can be viewed. That's it. It was a mixed bag, really, I think.
Yeah. A bit like us, really. Smile.
The overnight viewing.
Hang on, I can do the rest of it, thank you very much. Doctor Who Smile had an overnight viewing figure audience thingy of 4.25 million viewers, a share of 22.9% of the total TV audience, according to unofficial figures. Top of the day was ITV show Britain's Got Talent, with 9.21 million watching, a massive 44% of the total audience. Now, I seem to think last year Britain's Got Talent had about 11 or 12 million, so that's gone down a bit. The remainder of the evening was dominated by BBC One's All Round to Mrs. Brown. See, that's going up. That is really, because that was 3 million. That has trebled since their first episode. It's rather funny, so I will give them that. The FA Cup averaged around 5 million viewers, pushing Doctor Who into fourth place. Official ratings data included those who time shift the episode will be released in 8 days' time. The early morning signed repeat of pilot show on BBC Two at 4:10 a.m. had an average audience of 129,000 viewers.
Pardon? I wonder how they can count me, because I meet a guy with an eye patch around the corner to get a copy.
Do you now?
dodgy dude.
The Penguin podcast, it's Don Coleshaw in conversation. He said, this week's Penguin podcast is a Doctor Who special edition featuring John Coleshaw. I met John Coleshaw at the Doctor Who celebration. I got my picture taken with him. He was a very nice chap. He was in character as the third Doctor when I met him. He wasn't being John Coleshaw at all, because he was standing next to Bessie. Pilot has an audience appreciation figure of 83. Never worked out how that... whether that's good or not.
Yeah, how does that work?
Exactly.
How much viewers enjoyed the episode based on the reactions of a selected panel of viewers who rate the episode shortly after transmission?
Yeah, hang on, I can read that, you know. 83 is considered a good score, roughly similar to the scores achieved by the last series of the show. There you go. The highest score for the evening was shared by Dad's Army on BBC Two and the film The Imitation Game on Channel 4, both scored 87. overnight Australian ratings for the pilot, 495,000 viewers. I suppose that's not too bad for Aussie, because there's only about 496 people living there, isn't there? 1,000 people.
I think so, yeah.
And we did the overnight viewing figures last week.
Yeah.
So on the whole, it's okay. That's only episode two. It's really, really lovely to have new Doctor Who to watch every blimmin' week. It's like it's something we haven't had for years, but... It is nice to.
Yeah, I need to tell you, Master.
Sorry, Kirby, you were speaking.
Sorry, you were speaking.
I was just saying that it's nice that it's a different story every week at the moment.
This morning, I was at breakfast, and Fred came downstairs to eat breakfast, and I asked her, "Well, do you want to watch Doctor Who?" And she said, "I saw it." I said, "What, you mean last week's? There's a new one." She said, "Oh, it's on every week?"
Grief. Right, we've got some more feedback, but it's more of the comments that I posted on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join. Nobody took any notice of Kirby's posting earlier, as usual.
Actually, someone did. I think there was one.
They were just doing it to be naughty. Did you notice the emojis? I'm getting interrupted again. Did you notice the emojis I put on the title stream? I thought they were quite good.
Yes.
Kirby Bartlett Sloan said something else, but then I said something like it counts. So we're going to go on to Joshua Dybald, who said, enjoyed the episode, 7.5 out of 10, particularly enjoyed the banter between the Doctor and Bill. Can't really say much more than that. Hopefully more great episodes to come. Laurie Nick says, so it will be a season of retro homages. I can live with that. So she's talking about the homage with the Ark and the frozen people. Kirby's going on about stuff which I'm going to ignore.
No, I pointed out other stories which are related.
Yes. And then she said, weirdly, I drive past an organic market with a similar, not exact name every day. What exactly is the fertilizer? Soylent Green Mart. Matthew Kressel.
The market she goes to is the Erewhon market.
Oh, right. Matthew Kressel said, I'm wondering if Kirby was reminded of the Disney film Tomorrowland with the futuristic city surrounded by wheat fields. I really enjoyed this one and found myself smiling throughout, even without killer emoji robots being present. Ewan Haig. Blimineck. Ewan. Can't believe it. Finally, Doctor Who has his mojo back. It was getting far too serious. Bill has brought fun to the assistant role. There is a great chemistry between them already, and the dialogue is sharp and witty. Bill reminds me of Ace. Now, the thing is, right, this is his third and last series, and it's just getting to the thing where people are starting to like the setup. Yeah. And once again, it gets whipped away like a carpet or a rug under our feet. And the Doctor got given a rug, didn't he, in the first episode. It's rather ironic, isn't it? Michelle Kunkelman, beg your pardon. I enjoyed the episode, like the interaction between Bill and 12. The robots reminded me of those in the Amy episode, The Girl Who Waited. That's what Ben said. I find I enjoy 12 much more with Bill than I do with Class 12. Why do these people like to call the doctors by numbers? Anyway, thank you, Michelle. Where's your posting? Oh, yeah, let's see if anyone...
No one did. Billy simply said he sent.
I rest my case, viewer listeners. Anyway, but don't stop doing it, Kirby. I know you won't anyway.
Well, when I did, I was surprised that no one had, because usually if I forget, Debbie gets in there.
We got a couple of.
You've done it by the time I went to check. You'd already posted, so I was like, okay.
And it was so late.
What?
I was up late.
Anyway, right.
So was I. I think I got.
We had a couple of very strange requests join the group recently.
Yes, I noticed.
I bounced and blocked. But looking at the people who have joined the group recently, I'm a bit confused. Dominic Varney, was he mentioned last time?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, what about this Hovo?
And the one that I added is apparently a real person. So
no, he looks like a real person.
And they like Doctor Who for years. So
also we have Adam Gabriel Stinnett. We got Ritkad Asher. Now he's got Doctor Who stuff in his timeline as well. Michelle Kunkelman. Hello, Michelle. We just mentioned Michelle. And Rick Kagori Brindle. All Doctor Who fans, apparently. So welcome to the Doctor Who, sorry, the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group, which, of course, you can join me. Now got 461 members. I was going to kick Alicia out, actually. Where is she? So it's going to go down to 462. Where's Alicia?
You're kicking Alicia out.
Why?
Because she hates Doctor Who. So, right.
Well, supposedly Isabella hates it, too.
No, she doesn't hate it as much. She watches Doctor Who. Alicia makes a point of hating it and will never watch it again. So I'm clicking now. The ceremonial.
Which simply doesn't make sense if you go back and listen to those first episodes.
Remove from.
She was very much into.
Alicia is now. Oh, I haven't. Oh, damn, I forgot to click on block permanently. She's out. Alicia is now out. That's not you, Alicia Lynn Huey, by the way. She's not going to be listening. It's Alicia Pearson who has lied to us since being the co-founder of the show and apparently hates Doctor Who and always has done. So she is now banned.
Always
from the
has. 20 not, you don't get that impression if you.
She was fibbing, Kirby. She's banned.
No, she actually had some very good insights in those early episodes. Yeah,
she's
now,
banned.
Speaking of someone who doesn't like Doctor Who now.
Yeah.
That would be my youngest daughter, Mary, she says she won't watch Capaldi.
Fool!
I know. But I mentioned to her the rumor of some of the people who are possibly going to be the next Doctor. Mm-hmm. I brought up Michaela Cole.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And showed her, and she's going, oh, I'd watch that. So...
No, thank you.
So why? What's your objection?
I want a bloke to be the Doctor. Simple as. Yes, okay. There could be women could play the Doctor, but I personally want a bloke to play the Doctor. Sorry.
Well, like I said, that's what's going to happen next time.
I hope you're right.
They'll go radically to a woman.
At some point, yes. At some point, they will. Right. And that could, if it backfires, could lead to the firing of the showrunner of Doctor Who, or just the show being taken off air.
The show will disappear again for 10, 20 years, and then come back, and we'll all be old.
No, if that happens, I won't be old.
We'll have got through most of it by then, Kirby, as well.
Okay, right. Sponsors, we have whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Yeah, they got latest products. It's DWM Special 46 Toys and Games. That sounds interesting. It's looks like a merchandise special of Doctor Who magazine. Did anybody see on... Kirby, but on Good Morning Britain, they had a girl on there who apparently is in the Guinness Book of Records for having the largest private collection of Doctor Who merchandise.
Yeah, actually, I saw an article about that, but that was like a month ago.
I don't think so.
I didn't watch Good Morning Britain or anything like that.
I was really expecting... Pardon?
Is that really a programme still? I thought
it's
that
a breakfast show, dear. Piers Morgan presents it with some bird who used to be on Strictly.
Well, that's why I don't watch it then.
He's all right. He's quite funny. I don't think he means to be funny, but he is. But yeah, but I'm surprised no Doctor Who fans who must have larger collections than 5,000 pieces, which is essentially what her didn't come up and say, hang on, no, I've got a bigger collection than that, and it's private, and it's my collection. I was a bit irritated by that. She was a lovely little girl, and it was lovely to see her dad's efforts in turning, basically her bedroom door was the TARDIS door. It was really nice, and she was quite charming, and obviously a Doctor Who fan, but Guinness, you were a bit hasty there in putting her name in the Guinness Book of Records.
You just gave me an idea.
Well, you got a larger than 5,000.
No, I've got this door behind me. The people who aren't seeing this on video, I've got this closet door behind me. I'll turn it into a TARDIS door.
Yeah, he just painted blue and literally do design it up like he did for her. He did bring the door out a little bit, so it's not just a door frame. It comes out by probably about 6 inches. So it's got a square arch to make it look like the front of the TARDIS. So you have to be a bit more imaginative than just painting it blue and sticking the
Never
sign
mind,
on
Kirby,
it.
Never mind, Kirby. Do what you like.
Yeah, but do it anyway, Kirby. I'll be interested to see what it looks like. Doctor Who Magazine 511 with the Doctor, Bill and Nardole on the cover is also available, and you can buy them or get them if in countries like America a lot quicker than you have. If you subscribe to them, they'll come to you quicker if you order them from Who One. And Mind of Evil audiobook written by Terence Dix is also available soon. Oh, they're available now, all these things. Do apologise.
Companion's Companion.
Yeah, Companion's Companion.
It's like Companion's Companion, yeah.
Yeah, $9.99. I bet that's about Companions. What do you reckon?
It says, are you a brave adventurer, a fantastic friend, or a very fast runner?
Ah. Yeah, so we've also got coming soon, Alien Heart and Dalek Soul, excuse me, which is a big finished tale on CD. Dalek Teapot, which I've already got.
I've already got that. Yeah, I love that.
Alicia got me that for Christmas, that Dalek Teapot. Yes. Oh, yeah, she hates Doctor Who, but she knows I like it, so it's not. Deathrass, which is a fourth Doctor Big Finish story. Diary of River Song 2, which is a Big Finish story featuring the sixth Doctor and River Song. Silent Scream, a Big Finish story featuring the fourth Doctor. And we've got some figures as well coming soon. 12th Doctor in hoodie, 12th Doctor in jacket, 5-inch posable figures.
You've been waiting for those, haven't you?
I know, I've got them now. Although the hairstyle on the Doctor in this particular one is much better, so I might have to invest in one before he disappears from our screens. And of course, you can get the umbrella,
£11.99. Excuse me, I'm tired.
So am I. Visiting Hours by David Llewellyn, which is a audio book thingy based on Torchwood. And what the hell does that say? Zaltis? Oh, Zaltis, which is a fifth Doctor of Big Finish story. All these things, among other things, that obviously they're specialists in Doctor Who books. So it's a great website. Whoone.co.uk. Let's go to Lavazzi.
Is that whoone.co.uk?
Indeed.
Yeah. Lavazzi have, if, basically, they are
Lavazzi has the wonderful
leading,
stuff.
Yeah, the My leading company in Doctor Who scarves. Now, most Doctor Who fans, whether they like the fourth Doctor or not, would like to own what Kirby owns and what I own, a fourth Doctor's scarf. And oh, they I have really them there.
Dodgy year. Replica. Next I year. Have a dodgy 20 quid replica from eBay.
Yeah, we'll get one of these, Debbie. So if you go to lavazzi.co.uk, click Doctor Who and see what they've got. It's a load of lovely stuff. And if you like Star Trek or Sherlock as well, there's some good merchandise there as well.
Speaking of weird merchandise, did anyone see the picture I posted last night? I went to a new store in our local mall called Think Geek, and they had a triple fur coat.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
Cool. That sounds like fun. Anyway, so that's about it, I think. So we're not recording next Sunday because I'm away doing a wedding here. Basically, I'll go up to Nottingham on Thursday, wedding on Friday, another wedding on Saturday, work all day Sunday. So I'm going to be a bit knackered, and I don't know how I'm going to get to watch Doctor Who. So I want to watch it twice before I do the show. So we'll do the show on Monday morning, 10 a.m. UK time. That's British summertime, by the way, for those American people.
Don't worry, we're in sync again.
You're in the sink. I'm going in the bath in a minute. Would you bath in the sink? And that will be next week, but it's just a couple of days late. One day later than we normally do it. So hopefully we'll have Debbie, who's got a bit of spare time available at the moment. Haven't you, Deb?
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Kirby will be up very early in the morning. He's yawning now, but that's what he's going to be like when he first gets up. Hopefully I'll have Mary back. Andy probably won't be there because he doesn't.
He said he'd do feedback, though.
He did. And I'll contact Ben to see if we can't get him on live because he can't do Sundays, but he might be doing Mondays.
I wish we'd have an Australian again.
I'll contact Reese to see if he can't, because it'll be evening in Australia.
Usually, he joins us for at least one
He does.
Story.
This could
year,
be the one. You never know. We'll try and. Well, he's on our private conversation thread, so we'll just have to.
Yeah, I know.
And so is Ben. So we'll just try and see if we can't rope them in, just to sort of replace Andy, because obviously Isabella won't be here. She'll be at school. So until next week, it will indeed be next week, and another new episode of Doctor Who to watch.
Yay!
Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Keep loving Doctor Who. Goodbye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.